So welcome to Claire Johnson. We're here talking to Claire today because Claire is a fabulous artist, used to be a fashion designer 15 years ago, and then after having children created Arts of Alchemy and is now creating art with a spiritual heart. So welcome, Claire. I'd love to hear a bit about your story.
Thank you very much. I trained as a fashion designer. As I said, I come from a design background. There's a lot of art in my family, but I went into a design discipline, which everyone in my family did. Then I went into teaching, and I taught lots of students at the London College of Fashion. I taught them use of colour, as well as fashion design. And I taught the fashion stylist and hair and makeup artists their use in the film industry. Things like that. So it's just how to use and mix colours. Then when I stopped teaching and had my children, I started painting for myself just to express my own creativity. Because having been teaching for all those years and seeing about 180 students a week, I was used to letting a certain amount of creative flow come through me and out to inspire my students. And when I stopped giving that a release, I found that it was actually having a negative effect on me, because it's a creative flow that needs to keep going. So I appeared to be going completely barking mad, and my husband said, I think you actually need to be doing something more than hanging out nappies on the line.
Wow.
You're going bonkers.
So you left to do from doing your fashion when you had children?
Yes.
Yeah.
So then I started painting at home just to express myself. So that's the first time I really, since school, went back to any actual painting. So it was not a very confident thing that I did, because I trained as a fashion designer, which, although it's a creative thing, it's very different to actually expressing yourself in paint on canvas. So it's a similar journey to anybody would have when they turn around and decide to paint for the first time after many, many years. So I've been painting for myself, every painting I did for myself. And I've only discovered that they appeal to other people through my journey. I don't paint commercially, so I wouldn't make very good commercial artists, because I never repeat anything, even if I sell it. They're all one-off pieces of work. How they became Arts of Alchemy was I started just doing paints, and then I was asked to do an exhibition, and I was really, really reticent to step forth and actually show my work outside the house. I'd only shown to private friends and visitors before. So I had a bit of soul-searching overnight and discovered that why I was reluctant to go and have an exhibition was I was deeply embarrassed by my work. And when I realised that, it just it gave me a kick up the backside. It was like, well, get over your embarrassment. You know, the exhibition, get over yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only a mental block that I've got there. You can get over that. So I thought why I was embarrassed to show my work was it was a bit too woo, a bit too out there, and a bit too twinkly. And at that point, I acknowledged that actually my work is just a continuation of me. That whatever you think you're doing, it is an expression of yourself and how you're doing it. I thought, in which case, they're not twinkly enough. They're not woo enough. They're not out there enough. So at that point, I decided to start adding things to them to make them really twinkly. So I started using bits of crystal and broken jewellery, vintage jewellery, bits and pieces of my old earrings and things I found around, and shells I've gathered from beaches, and started to really embellish them. And that's where the Arts of Alchemy comes from, because alchemy is the art of taking base metal and transforming it into gold. So I've taken recycling bits of broken things that people were throwing away and had no perceived value to, and creating them into things of beauty and of worth.
Wow.
So
that's fantastic. I know from my journey, and we're working here with, and we're talking to people who've got ME, chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. And I know when I was at school, one of my favourite subjects was art. I loved it. I really enjoyed it. It was one of the things I really looked forward to at school, one of the only things I looked forward to. Yet when I left, I kept it up to a certain degree, and I did a little bit as a hobby. But then when I got into working, it felt like I didn't have time for that. That was just something you did at school, and that was just a fun thing back then. It wasn't something I took forward. And I can really see from what you're saying that actually it's an expression of your creativity and a way to express yourself. So it really becomes, like you said, it can be a block if you're not finding an expression. So how has it helped you moving through emotions and things like that in your life?
Well, I've had a life much like anybody else's. We all have things that happen that change the predicted pattern of where you thought your life was going, that can create blocks, mental blocks or physical blocks. We tried to emigrate to Australia, which I thought was a really good idea. I wanted to bring the children up in Australia. We actually sold up lock, stock and barrel, rehoused our pets, up and off to Australia. It didn't work out. Our visas didn't come through. So we had to come back. The consequence for me was I'd lost all my trust in my innermost decisions because I felt it was the right thing to do. I thought it was the right thing to do, and yet it didn't turn out to have been the right thing to do. So I started to doubt myself on this really deep inner level. My feelings and my thoughts, I just lost all faith in my own decision making, which I'd never experienced before. And I'm a Sagittarian, so I'm normally happy-go-lucky, and I'm quite confident and decisive about what I'm doing. And I suddenly couldn't decide anything. I couldn't trust my decision making. I really, really got lost in a dark place and I could not come out. So I didn't paint for 2 years. I just lost touch with any of my creativity. And I didn't see that it was a problem because it just wasn't an option. It just like disappeared. It's just like my whole landscape went black. And I thought, if I paint anything, it will just be black. But I paint bright colours, as you can see. I paint the beauty, the joy in the world. I just couldn't see it anymore. I couldn't hear it or smell it or see it. And then I decided, well, the only person to get out of this is going to be me. And I thought, the only way I can get out of this is to paint my way out. Because I know from doing my yoga and understanding of the chakras, I talked a lot about use of colour and understanding the colour wheel, the chakras that run through your whole body. And so I know that the sacral chakra is not only where we hold our personal pain, emotional pain, but it's where the seat of the inner artist resides.
Okay.
So if you're not careful and the balance gets out of whack, you build up so much emotional pain and blocks for whatever reason that you actually stem the flow of your own inner artist, of your own creativity. But that creative flow actually is the life force. Because by having allowed my block to get so large, I wasn't creating. I was just absolutely failing to thrive as an individual, as a spirit, as a being. And therefore, I wasn't inspiring my children. I couldn't just live properly. So I thought, right, I need to really address this. So what I discovered, and which is what I've developed in my program to help other people, is from my personal journey. I didn't just theorize, looking into books, this is what it would do.
Yeah.
I had to find a method for me to get from my dark place back.
Yep.
So where the inner artist resides, and it was strangled by my block of pain, the creative act is what gets your creative flow happening again. It's not the result. It's not the creative outcome. It's not the finished piece of work, which your brain judges, and we feel judged by the outside world. Extremely criticized and judged by our own internal selves.
Yep.
Once you decide that you have to let go of that and get over that, like I was saying, getting over my own personal embarrassment, you decide you're going to get over criticizing yourself for what you're about to produce, and you just allow yourself to produce something, anything. It's the act of producing that, getting back into the flow that you said you really enjoyed when you're back at school, that you let go of and put aside as childish things, which many people do. You get back into that flow and you suddenly remember the joy of just doing it. Not the pride in the end result or the glory other people appraising your end result, but the joy of doing it yourself, sitting there, playing with the colours, just getting your pencils out, smelling your paints, the joy of the whole journey. Once I started doing that, I thought, right, this is it. I can see how I'm going to go with this. So I actually did my painting, which is called The Fabric of Life.
Okay.
I have to paint my way out of this place. So I did a large patchwork heart. And if you take that the heart shape is your life, whatever happens in your life, it fits because it does. It's your life.
Yep.
It may not be the same as anybody else's, but it certainly fits in yours. there are points in your life where you think it's going to follow a predicted pattern or form, style, shape, scale. And then life happens like it does.
Yeah.
And it changes. The changes are run for you or you ring them yourself. But the pattern changes, the scale changes, the tone changes. So mine became a random patchwork heart within the outside shape, the structure. Then I would be the first one to say that if you're given a palette of colours, if you only use the delicate pale lemons and the apricots and the marshmallow pinks, then I'd be calling, where are the deep rich purples and where are the dark greens and the deep violets and things like that? So if you realise that, you start to realise that if the colours are your emotions and your experiences, you actually call for some of the harder ones that then actually give structure to the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You can start to see their value. Then within my painting, in the darkest patches, which are the burgundies and the midnight blues and things, that's where you hold the treasure. That's where we learn, is through the difficult times.
Yeah.
It would be really nice to say in life that you learn through pure joy, that you learn through delight and pure happiness.
Yeah.
But those are gorgeous and they serve you well in their moments, but they're not long-lasting lessons.
No.
The ones where we really dig deep and we really learn from are the very difficult times, the very difficult, deeper tones in your palette.
Mm.
So on my painting, I put all the treasure coming out from those deep, dark ones. Because when you understand the balance of them, then you can understand that the lessons are held in those and that they are a necessary part of your journey to broaden your scale against which you can measure everything else that happens in your life.
Mm. That's fantastic. And that, you know, rings so true when you're going through this condition, and we try and emphasize and we talk about, for us personally, we now see the condition as a gift when we've come out the other side of it. When you're right in the middle of that, you can't quite see that that is part of. And just for you, like when you were coming back from Australia, you thought it was the worst thing ever by the sound of it, and you lost a lot of sense of your own direction and sense of self through that. But as you come out, you can see how important that was as part of your journey.
Absolutely. Mm. You know, and I can see how it really benefited the whole family. And we came back, and everyone's perception was that it was a failure. Oh, it didn't work out. You went, oh, yeah, you shouldn't have gone. It didn't work out. Oh, and this is all those that say, you know, they that be.
Yeah, who are they?
Who are they? But they all judge you and go, oh, it didn't work out and you were wrong to do it. Absolutely not. You know, we all went away and came back twice the size of the people who'd gone away.
Mm.
It was not wrong. It was a huge learning curve. And my children are now the people they are because we went and did this experience.
Yeah.
And we are too. And I can learn that having had this dark time, I learned a lot of empathy for other people that have dark times. I mean, my grandmother on my mother's side, she actually committed suicide whilst the balance of her mind was unjust. And so she was in a deep depression. And she did that when I was 12, and I never understood that. I thought, how could you do that? How could you do that? But when I was in that dark landscape, I could see how she could do that. I saw the signpost.
Yeah.
I had no intention of taking it.
Yeah.
But it took me to that point where I could at last understand how she could. It was a very easy choice to take that. I was not on my remit to do that.
Yeah, you can see.
So suddenly I learnt that with her. So then I learnt an instant understanding with a lot of other people how hard it is to come back from this.
Yeah.
But with my personal painting, when I finished the whole thing, what actually is the largest statement on the thing is a very large star of hope.
Mm.
And I hadn't seen that coming until I'd completed the whole painting. So it's just like, well, yes, because you may have these very deep times, the very dark times that are very difficult, but you must have hope.
Yeah.
And that hope will bring you through that. That hope will give you an understanding of why you go through things to learn them. But you have to appreciate at the time you may not get it, and you're not supposed to. It's only the presence of hindsight that gives you the benefit of understanding what you've been through and what you've learned while you're in it.
Yeah.
More often than not, you don't think you're learning anything, but you certainly are.
Yeah. It's amazing. We talk about the program being called the chrysalis effect, and we talk about the fact that the chrysalis, when you've got this condition, it's like you're trapped inside this chrysalis. And when you allow yourself the time, that's where transformation takes place, and you can then evolve and become a butterfly. And I know you do paint amazing butterflies.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to hear your take on that process of transformation.
Well, I very much believe that you have to accept and appreciate the period of gestation, which is the transformation stage from caterpillar to butterfly. When you're in a chrysalis, like you're saying, that speaks volumes to me, because this is a very, very difficult phase to be in, the chrysalis phase, because you have to let go of everything that you've been before. The caterpillar has to let go of every structure that made it a caterpillar. And within the chrysalis, the self turns into just a gooey mush. There is no caterpillar, there is no butterfly. It just goes back to essence. And patience in that chrysalis phase is absolutely vital. You believe that there will be an end, that you will come out of it, and allow yourself the transformation that is necessary to develop from mush into a glorious, beautiful, wondrous butterfly. You will, but you need patience and positive belief that you will. Then when the day comes and you burst forth from the chrysalis and you open your wings, and you have patience to allow the sunlight to dry those delicate wings, with time, you'll be able to fly to heights higher than the sky. But it all takes time and patience and understanding of yourself.
It does. And that's beautifully put. Gives me goosebumps. And and it really embodies what we've tried to create with our program, in terms of giving them a path to follow, some processes that take them deep within themselves to try and find themselves along the way. Because like you say, it is about creating that space, and it is about finding your authenticity along the way. And everybody's journey is unique, and we've just tried to give them a path that they can follow, and they're going to go off on their own and their own journeys along that path. Mm. And I personally believe that had I tapped into my creativity sooner, I would have had a much faster journey on the road to recovery. I really believe that, and it's something that I'm getting back into now. So I'd love to find out a bit more about the process that you talk about that enables, you know, people to tap into that creativity and that, you know, their authenticity.
Well, for me, at the time when I had to start painting my patchwork heart, I didn't have the benefit of a studio. I'm very lucky now to have one, but I had to paint in my kitchen. Okay, so to develop the space, even from family kitchen to artist studio, is a mental one. And yeah, it needed a certain amount of physical preparation. So I teach the process of learning to create the physical space and the mental space that you can return to. So in my house, I had to, you know, put the things in the dishwasher, having made the packed lunches, send the kids up to school, fed the cats, and try and transform it from a working family kitchen. So for me, I light a candle to bring in your inspiration and to change the energy of what's happening around you. Put on some music, because it's about keying your senses into where you're going. So some music that will inspire you. It can be floaty, yogic music, if that's what does it. It can be your favourite rock band, whatever floats your boat and makes you get in touch with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mine very much varies. I put music on in my studio every day. So you've got to go with how you're feeling and what's changing. Then I would also have a crystal around. So I give everybody a crystal when they come, that they can then focus and program and work through with this crystal. Now, crystals are one of the only things that's proven in the alternative world that actually have memory retention.
Yeah.
I mean, original computers run on crystal chips.
Yeah.
So it's about getting your crystal and holding it and starting focusing on your project that you're going to do for yourself. And then when you finish your time, you can put it back in your pocket or put it in its little bag or put it somewhere. So that maintains the focus of what you were doing while you were doing your creativity.
Any particular crystal? Because I know there are many.
There are many. What I tend to give people is mucilite, which is an Australian one, actually. No, mucite, I think it's called. Oops.
Mucite.
Mucite, I can let you know what that's all about. But I mean, I have whatever grabs your fancy, really. Mm. Those are ones that really aid with shifting blocks and getting in touch with your own creativity. So you can research that to as much degree as you want, or go spontaneously with what feels right for you. It's very much down to the individual.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't predict what is going to be the best.
That's right, and you get drawn to them.
You do, very much. Like saying about choosing the music.
Yeah.
You could say you'll have floaty
Yeah, you know, and that's just not right for you.
And absolutely. That might turn someone else off entirely, yeah. if you just say, well, that's not going to do it. So what I learned very much from doing my teaching was that I would sometimes have to deliver my brief 3 or 4 times. You'd use one set of words and 70% of your audience, their lights would come on and their creativity would be sparked. Then you'd have to repeat the brief using different terminology and different words to try and capture those people in. And then sometimes there'd be inevitably one or two people that you'd have to go and give a third or fourth instruction, one-to-one, changing your use of vocabulary entirely until their lights go on. Because each individual's creativity is stimulated in different ways.
Yeah.
So you've got to find what works for you. So create a space, clear it, put on your music, light your candle, and have a crystal. Then burn an incense. If that's what you do, I always burnt one to try and get rid of the cat food and breakfast meals and so something lovely in floaty smell. So that you're keying into your vision, your sound and your sense of smell to help yourself transcend your blocks as physically as well as you can.
Yeah.
Then I would encourage people to have what I call an inspiration board. So on that, it'd be anything that makes your heart sing, whether it's a postcard from a friend or a birthday card, images that absolutely bring you joy and inspire you. So it can be a sheet torn from a magazine, it can be a postage stamp, it doesn't matter. Again, you can't say what's going to inspire somebody.
Yep.
But start gathering your things in one place, either on a pin board that you can then bring out and suddenly lean up against your table, because you can create a workspace anywhere. It doesn't have to be a studio.
Yeah.
I mean, here I can shut the door and I can come back the next day and the whole studio is holding the energy that I've created.
Yeah.
But it can't always be that.
Yeah.
So I would have my inspiration board that I would put aside for when the children came home, blow out your candle, change the music. But the next day, as soon as they're gone, bring out your inspiration board, put it up there. You can look at the images, get out the crystal, hold it again. It returns you quicker to the place you were when you were focused in that creative space.
Okay, yeah, makes
sense.
So you
start to develop this space in yourself energetically. You start to become familiar with it.
Yeah, okay.
You put your music, you do the sort of tangible things in the world, a bit like NLP. So you're doing the things, repeating them.
Yeah.
And it gets you quicker and quicker to that same point.
Yeah, makes sense.
This is before you even start working on what you're working on. Then when you do and you open whatever project you're about to embark on, say doing your own patchwork heart, I encourage anybody to start their own. Just draw out a heart shape or trace one and then start to say, right, what am I going to do in here? You don't have to do that. If you've got your own creative, do your own thing.
Mm.
But this is designed for people with writing block. It's for anybody because creativity doesn't have to be painting. It doesn't have to be drawing. It can be that you used to dance and you don't dance anymore. That you used to sing and you don't sing anymore. It's about getting in touch with that creative flow. And creativity is a part of everyday life.
Mm.
If you cook with creativity, you need it. We all need it.
Mm.
So it's about refinding it for however way you want to express it.
So if people are looking at it and you know, I mean, if they're with a condition of ME and chronic fatigue, depending on which stage they're at, dancing may not be something they can do. Writing probably is, you know, that's a great way of just releasing, and we get them to do that in the program in their morning pages, just get up and just let it flow. And some people start with that and don't carry on, but it's something that really can make a difference. If somebody wants to get into creativity in terms of expressing themselves and wanting to do it in an artful way. I remember when I was at school, I found it sometimes, I remember doing it at school, I did create from wherever it came from. But then when I left school, I felt like I needed to copy something. I felt like I couldn't just create something. I had to have something as a guideline. Is that a good way for people to get back into creativity?
It's a fantastic way because then you stop the judgment of have I made the right decision? I'm going to draw a shell. How do you draw a shell? And you start criticising yourself. If you decide, well, actually, I'm just copying, somehow it seems to let you off.
Yeah.
You think, oh, that's all right.
Yeah.
You know, someone else has made the decision. That's what I'm saying. I'm happy to have as part of the programme. Templates that people could use to work to. So you take the pressure off because it's not about the judgement. It's about the actual participating.
I think what's really important as you're going through the process is actually realizing when you're about to do something how it makes you feel and what thoughts are coming up for you, because I remember when we were talking And I thought, I'll go home and I'll start doing this, but how do I know where to start? What do I do next? What's the process? And I'm like, wow, that's actually how I live my life. That's how I feel more in control of what I'm doing. If I have a process to follow, I feel comfortable. I like to have my own rules. I like to have my own flexibility, but I also need some sort of structure to follow. And I think it's a great way of using art and creativity and learning the lessons and seeing where you apply that in your life.
Absolutely. That's why developing a methodology that other people can use has been key to making my workshops successful, because a lot of people, I mean, obviously sufferers from ME are very good examples, but a lot of people have fluctuating commitment to themselves and projects that are about themselves, because, you know, you have real lives. As I said, I don't paint every day because I have my husband and my children and my mother. I have all sorts of other things that are calling on my time.
Yeah.
So it has to be that you can create something, but you can put it away in a space that's a mental space in yourself as well, until you have the time or the physical energy or even the mental energy to reopen it and readdress it and continue with it. So I have this painting that I'm working on now. I've been working on almost all year, and that sounds ridiculous because you think, well, don't you go in there and paint every day? It's just a painting. Why don't you get on and finish it? But my paintings particularly, they're not about just the painting. They're all journeys, and they're journeys that I have to embark on. And I can never say from the beginning to the end of a painting how long the painting's going to be. They all astound me with how long some of them have taken. And it isn't until I finished the painting that I've understood what the painting was about and what the lesson from the painting has been. So it's not about speed and completing a project. So it doesn't matter if you even only think about your project for week upon week upon week and you don't actually even touch paper with your pencil.
Yeah.
The creative flow and the creative process has been started in your head.
Okay.
In your spirit.
Yeah.
So you're already putting out the intention to reconnect, and you are reconnecting, even if you don't have the physical energy or time to actually do it.
That process is so key and so important, because so many people with these conditions, well, I think everybody with these conditions, are fast-paced, driven.
Yeah, exactly.
It's about the end result a lot of the time, and it's not enough about the journey and the process. So I think it's really important for people to get that and understand that. And I know when I was thinking about creating something, I had some ideas, and I was also thinking, oh, I could do it like that and I could do it like this. And I also wonder, do you work on more than one project at a time?
Well, funnily enough, I do. All in my head.
Okay.
I don't sketch. I don't do anything. I hold all of them as tacit information, which is drives other people insane, because I don't appear to ever have a business plan. I don't have a lot of tangible proof of what I'm going to be doing next, but I work on them all in my head.
Okay.
So I work a lot on that creative flow, and I keep it in the mental state.
Okay, and you do a lot of writing and channeling,
don't
you?
I do a lot of channeled writing, and some of my paintings I hold in my head for 2-3 years, and I sort of develop them up there in the wherever they are before they come down here, before they become tangible and come out from my paintbrush and meet the canvas. They're forming up there, and so it's very important to have this flow open.
Yeah.
Even if you're not having the opportunity to bring it down. My butterfly, she was up there for ages. I have a mermaid who's yet to come. I actually suspect I can't do her until I have a bigger studio, because she's going to be a very big painting, and I don't think I can actually fit it in here the scale that she needs to be. So I've been building her for about 3 years in my life. So.
And what does the butterfly represent to you when you painted that? Because that's a big symbol for us in our program.
About female metamorphosis, transformation, and evolvement.
Mm.
So that's something I feel particularly akin to your chrysalis analogy, because it's about giving yourself time and about emergence.
Mm.
And I think the world in general is going through an emergency, the whole planet.
Yeah.
You know, the whole 2012 prophecies, there's an emergency about everything. And what needs is people to emerge. And it's about the time to emerge into the full self that individuals can be. And that's what I think butterfly represents.
Wow.
To me.
Yeah. So when people are... They're sitting there with their candle, their crystal, their, you know, their music, and they've got into that space, and then they go, I don't know what to do next. It feels like you don't know how to express what's going on. What would you suggest people do at that point?
Well, a lot of people think that also to be an artist, you have to be able to paint or you have to be able to draw. And obviously those things are good and you can be taught how to paint and how to draw. But those are the things we also feel very insecure about in your own space, left to the own individual in your own bedroom, sitting there thinking, but no one's taught me how to paint or draw. That's not the only means of expressing yourself. You can use collage, tear out pieces of magazines to get colour bits and then stick them down with Prit stick. You can use bits of material. You can collage things. You can use photographs. You can cut them up and stick them down. You can create. It's about creating. It's not just about drawing or painting.
Yeah.
When I taught the use of colour, it was just the hair and makeup artist. So they were then going to go and use what I taught them as the expression of colour in hair and makeup.
Yeah.
But what I was teaching them was to put 3D ideas down in a 2D form. So if they're going to be a really gifted makeup artist to work in the film or theatre industry, that doesn't mean they have to be able to draw a lemon with sublime detail.
Yeah.
It means they have to have an understanding of how to use colour.
Yeah.
So each individual, if you want to start and do something, don't stop at the idea I can't draw like Picasso or I can't paint like Rembrandt.
Mm-hmm.
Just start. Allow yourself to start anywhere and set off this judgment of it's not proper art, like I told you I was inhibited by. Get some coloured crayons.
Yeah.
You know, I love coloured crayons, you know, or chalk pastels.
Yeah.
And do it with your fingers.
Yeah.
Don't be stopped by what we perceive is good art or the right material to start.
Yeah.
I actually have something that I give to all the people who come on my courses, which I call a no excuses bag. And it's a starter kit.
Yeah.
I call it an inspirational starter kit. Now, within that, it comes with a bag, a lovely canvas bag, but within that, there's everything from you get a pencil, a pencil sharpener, a rubber, and you get a bag of mixed papers and twinkles and some glitter glues and a sketchbook. Because so many of us find the very, very, very small first reason to stop your creativity. I sat down and lit my candle, I had my crystal, burnt my incense, put on my music, turned round, my pencil was blunt, I didn't have a pencil sharpener, I'm not going into town until next week, I'll get it then.
Yeah.
And you just find any excuse to put it away.
Yeah.
Or, oh, I hadn't even got a pencil. Oh, I hadn't got a sketchbook. I couldn't start anything. We all do it. So when you know that you're likely to self-sabotage, which you are going to because you've blocked your own creativity anyway, and it's going to feel unusual to let that flow back. We get settled in patterns that are comfortable. And if it's comfortable being blocked, you get a lot of reticence to move it on and reluctance for change.
Yeah.
But change is a good thing. And change is what we're supposed to be trying to embrace, to shift the blocks, to get back into the flow. So don't allow yourself to think, well, I would love to do that, but actually, I can't draw.
Yeah.
It's just another excuse. You don't have to draw.
Yeah.
Look at children. They don't know they can't draw. They just draw on everything. And they draw with sheer joy and wax crayons. They don't care.
It is because we put judgment right back in there.
Right there.
Yeah. And it's about the process. It's about what do I do next? How do I do it? All of that
what
stuff.
What if it's horrible? What if my husband hates it? What if I hate it? What if my sister hates it?
Yeah.
What if the first anyone that comes in the room goes, that's rubbish? It is rubbish.
Yeah.
It's not about judging it. It's about doing it. And try and remember that and just allow yourself the little joy to just play and set free your creativity without judgment for once.
And when you do paint and you create these masterpieces, what do you feel it's helping you in terms of finding yourself along that journey, in terms of tapping into your authenticity and who you really are?
Well, say this last painting that I'm doing now has been very, very strange. It's these dark mountains and it's this winding river. And it comes across this field of vertical lines of crops. Now, when I started it, it was very dark, and it's a nighttime scene with a small sickle moon and a few stars. And it comes, this journey of this river across this plain, meandering like a snake right down to a huge heart that's held in the foreground. And this is, now I'm here, I'm nearly at completion with it, and I can't wait, actually, this week, to hurry up and finish it.
because I've learned the journey is from source to your heart. So it's about coming all through your chakras. It's about alignment. But more than that, the journey is that it would imply that it would be direct, coming straight down the vertical lines of the crop. Like most of us, you think life is going to be a straight line. You have hope, you have ambition. You think, oh, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. Say for me, I'm going to be a fashion designer, I'm going to do this. And you think you're going to rush off down a straight line, but actually, no one's life is a straight line. It's all a meandering river. And it's the bends along the way that develop the depth of personality and compassion that actually provide the love and wisdom that fill the heart as you get to the foreground. So when I first started painting, it was all nighttime, it was all dark, so actually it's all inspired thought, it's coming from the chakras, the purples, the indigos and blues.
Mm.
But when I got down to the heart is now hot, passionate colours. It's every colour, it's orange and yellow, it's a combination of all your base chakras, your sacral chakra, your solar plexus. So this is about the present and the passion and the joy, and the, what fills your heart is the journey to the heart.
Yep.
So stop wishing that it would be a straight line. Understand that every extra bend in the way that you've had has been what's allowed your heart to be so full when you get to the present.
Mm. Wow, that's fantastic. And I'm sitting here looking at this picture. So when it's complete, we'll have to get it on for them to have a look at.
Yeah, by all means, you can put it on your website so you can see the journey.
Yeah.
And that, you know, within whatever stage you are in your own life, your own development, your own stage of your illness, whatever, you can see, put yourself at some point of the journey.
Mm.
But if the heart is the present, the heart is right now, the heart is where you're getting to.
Yeah. And I think that is a real catalyst, really. It's like, you know, the chrysalis, it's about that transformation and it's about getting in touch with who you really are. And actually, when you're going through this condition, it's about looking at your nutrition and looking at it. You've got to get all those physical things in place, and that is really important.
Yeah.
But at the heart of it, it really is about learning to love, trust and honor yourself for who you really are.
Yeah.
And when you can get to that place and be happy with who you are and take away those judgments, that's when you really, really can break free and, you know, have the health and energy that you've always dreamed of.
It's a very hard place to get to let go of self-judgment as well as perceived external judgment, but yeah, it's a journey for one. You're on your own journey anyway, and actually no one else can be there with you.
It's absolutely right, and it's about finding the tools along the way. Mm. And I think creativity and expressing your creativity is an incredibly powerful tool.
Mm.
So we're going to be working together to enable them to have a process that they can use to really tap into their creativity. So that will be on the program, so that they can tap into that if they choose to, and really find the hope and the inspiration that will lead them on that journey to their heart. And I really think that, you know, the way we met was incredible, and I really feel that we've been drawn together to share what you've got and your passion. When I look at your paintings and your pictures, I don't see just a picture. I see a journey. It feels like it has its own energy. It really does. I've never been drawn to any art that in a way that I have to yours. It really speaks to me. And because, like you said earlier, that it's sparkly and it's out there and it's jangly, all of that stuff, that resonates with me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's finding something that does work for you. And when you do and it resonates with you and speaks to your heart, I think sometimes we listen to our thoughts and our feelings too much, and it's about what's in our heart. And when you can connect to that, it really does make a massive difference. So I'm really excited to be on this journey with you, and I know we're going
to
create some magic for people.
Yeah,
so
I look forward to it.
Thank you for your time, and I'm sure we're going to be talking again very soon.
Definitely. Thank you very much.